What is God's written word? How do we accept and receive the Bible? Join me today as I walk us through the authority and sufficiency of Scripture. Welcome to the Happy Holy Hour, a podcast where everyday Christians grow in their faith through biblical examination and insightful discussion. I'm glad you're here today. If you enjoy the content you're about to hear, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and visit us at thehappyholyhour.org. Let's get started. Today we're going to walk through and talk about the Bible, where it came from, and how we receive it. The number one best-selling book of all time is not the one that's currently on the New York Times bestseller list. It's not the hottest and latest trending book on Amazon or at your local Books A Million. The number one best-selling book of all time is actually the Bible. This book or collection of books is the most exciting and fascinating book anyone could ever pick up and read. Think about it, right? It contains the account of creation of the universe, stories of early tribes and kingdoms, visions from prophets, worship, music, accounts of Jesus, the Acts of the Apostles, letters written to the early church, and prophetic revelation of the end times. All of this is written in one book we call the Bible. There is no other book that is as complicated or complex, yet beautifully interwoven into a text with everything that a Christian could ever need for life and godliness. This book should amaze anyone that approaches it. It was written over the course of 1,500 years by approximately 40 different authors. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament, totaling up to 66 books. 2 Peter 1 explains that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit. Simply put, this means that all of the men that penned the written word of God, the Bible, were under the direct inspiration of God and were revealing to us what God wanted us to know about himself, the church, Christian living, polity, holiness, love, and so much more. It was not men speaking on their own authority. It was God speaking through men. God spoke through these prophets, messengers, and apostles to reveal his will for the church. And because of that, the words written in the Bible are not just words written by men, but breathed by God himself. God is the origin of scriptures, not man, as we see in 2 Timothy 3:16. If you grew up in the church, you probably have heard this a million times, but did you really understand what I just said? The Bible is God's word given to you. The creator of the universe, the Almighty God, wrote a book and has given it to you. Since being written from generation to generation, language to language, God has perfectly preserved his word through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not corrupt in any way. It doesn't error. It cannot error. It is inerrant. If someone finds an apparent error in the Bible or what seems like a contradiction, it's likely because it's not being read in its proper context, right? With that being said, all of us have been in error at some point, including myself. I'll be the first to admit it. We will not pick up a Bible and immediately understand all of its complexities. However, there are certainly ways to correctly interpret the scripture, right? To gain a proper understanding of the Bible, one must know, let's say, who wrote the book, to whom it was being written, and for what purpose, what role it plays in redemptive history. There's a whole system in place for how to understand the scripture. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." The Bible is a finished work. It cannot be added to. In other words, it goes back to a doctrine we call sufficiency, the sufficiency of Scripture. The biblical canon or standard was complete at the death of the last apostle in the first century AD. Everything that God wanted us to know has already been revealed to us through his word. There's nothing, as the Bible says, nothing should be added to it or taken away from it. because God is the origin of Scripture. His word is the ultimate authority, right? So to amend it or change it would be to put ourselves over his authority. To try to correct it would be akin to what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? To repeat what the serpent said. Has God really said? So when we add or we take away or we change the word of God, we attempt to replace God's authority with our own. Some Christians today, you'll run into, especially in the New Apostolic Reformation, they'll claim to have divine revelation from God, right? They'll seek to add or take away from the biblical canon. And by doing this, by saying that I've heard something that you haven't heard, they reject the sufficiency of Scripture. If someone comes up to you and says, I have a word from God for you, what you got to do is open up your Bible and say, great, what book, what chapter, what verse? But the Bible itself contains everything we need in this life. Of course, the Bible is not an instruction manual for how to become a brain surgeon or a mechanic or become a computer programmer, right? So it's not everything extensively that we would ever need, but it's everything that we need for life and godliness. Therefore, we got to be on guard against any kind of heresy in the modern church or any effort to take away from or add to the Bible, right? Because the Bible is sufficient and has everything we need for life and godliness. But when people try to take away from it or add to it, what they're saying is it's somehow insufficient and I need to change it. But God has provided us all that we need to know through his word. Now, the Bible has been subject to harsh scrutiny over time. However, it continues to prove itself to be genuine and authentic. Many historical documents confirm what is written in the Bible, from documentation of historical kings to geography to the discovery of the old manuscripts of the Bible. There is overwhelming evidence to show that it has withstood the test of time. For example, in 1947, shepherds discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls in a cave on the West Bank in the Middle East, dating back to the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd centuries before Christ. These scrolls contain elements of almost 200 biblical scrolls, and a complete scroll was found containing the entire book of Isaiah. And the other scrolls included most of the Old Testament books as well. One of the greatest reasons for this discovery as being just an amazing discovery is the transmission of Scripture. We found that there are minimal differences between the translation of the Hebrew language from the Dead Sea Scrolls and the text that we use today in the Bible. And this means that the meaning of the text has not changed or altered. It is confirmed. God has faithfully preserved his word, and it can be trusted as such. The Bible, as we get into the story of it, is not just the story of one family from the Middle East. It's the story of God's family. It's the story of God's people. It's the story of how God is bringing broken sinners to himself and adopting them as sons and daughters, making them co-heirs with Christ. And the Bible has been used for thousands of years to seek and understand who God is, who we are, and the plan of redemption that we call the gospel. How we receive Scripture definitely matters, right? The Bible is God's written word, right? It exists to teach us about who God is and reveal his redemptive plan to us. But if you've ever met a non-believer, which I hope you have, they will often scrutinize the Bible, saying something like, you cannot know that your Bible is the right one, right? So you get, in our culture, a lot of agnostics or postmodernists assuming that every religion is correct in its own regard. And because of this, they don't pay too much attention to what truth is and what truth is not. When this happens, it saddens me because, of course, I want them to come to know the Lord, but even their rejection of Scripture confirms Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The person who is not Spirit-filled will not believe the Spirit-inspired Scripture without the prior working of the Holy Spirit in their lives. In other words, unbelievers, they're not going to understand fully or believe the Bible because the Holy Spirit has not quickened them to understand it. Their hearts haven't changed to be disposed to understand it. The unbeliever in rebellion against God does not want God on their mind, right? They don't accept the things of the Spirit of God. But the Christian accepts the things of the Spirit of God and is able to understand God's word, as we see in 1 Corinthians 2. It also explains that the Holy Spirit is the very one that illuminates the hearts of believers, causing them to read the Bible in a saving way. By way of example, John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The word of God will always pierce the heart of the believer, right? Since Christians are spirit-filled, they receive the Bible as God's holy word. This does not mean that Christians will always understand what the text means, right? This doesn't mean that you're going to get it right 100% of the time. But God illuminates the scriptures and helps us understand as we read and as we study and even teach the word of God. God helps us know what is written and how it impacts every one of us, right? We hear his voice because we are his sheep. The Bible is a truly beautiful work, a true treasure for the Christian, right? The psalmist describes scripture as something that he can't live without. It was necessary for his survival. It was the one thing that helped him through the valley of the shadow of death. Without it, he says, I would have perished. The Bible is something we can't afford to live without. But the beautiful thing is the Bible is so much more than just an authoritative book. It's actually one of the means by which God saves people. It's efficacious, right? It does something. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Matthew Henry describes it as such in his commentary on Hebrews. He says, it is very lively and active in all its efforts in seizing the conscience of the sinner, in cutting him to the heart, and in comforting him and binding up the wounds of the soul. It is not, as some say, a dead letter. It's the sharpest, most active, lively piece of text that has ever existed. It cuts where no other sword can, speaking the only message that can save sinners. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to quicken people out of spiritual death and into true life. God ordains the ends, salvation, and he ordains the means, right? The sharing of the word of God. In other words, God powerfully uses the sharing of his word to convert sinners and bring them to himself. He's given us a map. He's given us a plan. As we think about scripture, we need to think about its authority in our lives. The Pharisees in Matthew 7, it says that then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites." In Matthew 7, Jesus scolds the Pharisees for elevating man-made traditions over the commandments of God. The Pharisees ultimately voided the authority of the word of God in their lives because they wanted to stay true to their traditions and practices. The authority of Scripture has always caused tension. In fact, the same issue is to be considered the formal cause of the Protestant Reformation. Going a little forward in time to the 16th century, theologians like Martin Luther and John Calvin were concerned that the Catholic Church was not obeying Scripture as the authoritative Word of God. In fact, the Catholic Church was more involved in many corrupt practices that were antithetical to Scripture, including explicitly trying to sell salvation to people through indulgences. The Reformers ultimately took a stand against the Catholic Church, claiming that the Bible is authoritative, it's profitable for correction, and should be understood as the authoritative Word of God. One of the five solas of the Reformation is sola scriptura, a Latin phrase meaning scripture alone. It was one of the rallying cries of the Reformation to return to Scripture as our final authority. But the Catholic Church claimed that the Bible could not correct the papacy and the leaders of the Catholic Church because they claimed authority over the church rather than the Bible. They held to traditions and practices that were not biblical and contended that their man-made traditions were divinely inspired. The reformers tried to convince the Catholic Church of its wrongdoing and called the papacy to repent, but many ended up being ostracized, even killed, for their claims. And eventually, there was a split between the Catholic Church and what we now know as Protestant Christianity. And initially, the Protestants stood on the Bible as their final authority, and many Protestant denominations still do. But in the current days, there are a lot of Protestant denominations who have abandoned the authority and sufficiency of Scripture so they do not offend the culture. But the true church stands on the Word of God, the Bible, as its ultimate authority and not man-made traditions and doctrines. The same thing that the Pharisees were doing. When Jesus was walking on the earth, the Pharisees were doing these things. They were taking oral traditions and holding people responsible to them as if they were written law so that they could gain, whether financially or socially. Right? They would pray these really long prayers so that other people would think that they are more holy, only later to cheat old women out of their life savings. There were many sinners in Jerusalem, but Jesus would often harshly condemn the Pharisees, calling them a brood of vipers in Matthew 12. They were a wicked group of people, all while appearing to be honorable men of God. They were doing what the Catholic Church would later do. They replaced God's law with human rules and traditions. They attempted to replace the authority of God's word with their own authority. But in Mark 7, Jesus describes their laws as more so being human rules. Jesus condemns them on multiple occasions and holds them accountable to the written word of God, saying, "You are wrong because you know neither scriptures nor the power of God. Have you not read what was said to you by God?" Did you catch that? Jesus considered that if they read the scriptures, it was as good as God speaking directly to them. That's a good example for how to view scriptures, right? So ultimately, we want to view scripture how Jesus views the scriptures. We stand on the word of God as truth because Jesus confirmed that. He viewed scripture as having the highest and unbreakable authority, clearly stating that scripture cannot be broken in John chapter 10. He also uses it. He uses scripture as a weapon against Satan's attacks in Matthew 4, showing its power over temptation and Christ's authority over Satan himself. Jesus utilized the word of God in every area of his life. In fact, Jesus himself is also described as being the Word of God in John 1:1, which basically means that Jesus is the living embodiment of God and his word and his will. God's plan of redemption culminates in the person of Christ who lives forever. Everything else can fall away, but the Word of God will last forever. Therefore, Jesus had the authority to confirm the validity of the Old Testament, which means that everything written before Christ was true. He also had the authority to commission the writing of the New Testament through the Holy Spirit and the apostles. Because of this, we know that God's word can be trusted and used as the standard of ultimate truth and authority in the life of the church. However, just because the Bible is the ultimate standard of truth does not mean that we are not responsible for obeying other governing authorities that God has put in place, right? God has given us the church, and we are accountable to our elders and our church leaderships. However, these governing authorities stand secondary to the holy word of God. Scripture stands above all authorities. Since we believe that the Bible is God-breathed, we understand that the Bible is the spoken word of the Almighty God, right? There is no other document or being that stands above God and his word. The Bible is the ultimate standard of truth and is used for studying, for reproof, for teaching, and for correction in the church, according to 2 Timothy 3. you know, there are going to be times where you are confused about what the Bible is trying to mean, what it means, where you're just not getting it, right? You're going to be confused sometimes about what is biblical and what is not. And my encouragement to you is to be a Berean. Now, what's a Berean, you ask? Well, good question. Acts 17, verse 11 says, "Now these Berean Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So do what the Berean Jews did. Compare everything to scripture. Make sure that what your pastor preaches on a Sunday morning is from scripture. Make sure that the worship music that you listen to in the car is based from scripture. Compare everything to the ultimate standard of truth. If the Bible is the ultimate standard of authority and truth, then you need to make sure that every source of knowledge in your spiritual walk is from the Bible. If the televangelist on TV is speaking a gospel that's not biblical, then turn it off. If your Bible study leaders teach concepts that are not biblical and they're not rooted in scripture, ask them about it. Remember, the Bible is profitable for study, for correction, for reproof, authority, and righteousness in our lives. So as we journey together through the pilgrimage of this life, let us understand and submit to the authority and sufficiency of God's word. It's all that we need, and we have it in our hands, and we just need to submit to it as being the authoritative word of God. It's sufficient. And as we strive to understand who God is, we must look towards the scripture and no one else. As we seek to understand who we are, we must look at it from a biblical perspective, because we're not going to understand who God is unless we're going to the Bible. We're not going to understand who we are unless we're going to the scriptures. And as Christians, the Bible should guide our thinking and our actions. And if you have not yet, trust in Christ and submit to the Bible as your ultimate authority, right? Christ is Lord, whether you acknowledge it or not. God has given us his word, and to reject his word is to reject him. The word of God is the only text that presents the gospel in its perfect completeness. It is the means by which God has decided to reveal himself and his plan of redemption. Because of this, God promises that his word will not return void. And while it is a powerful weapon against sin, it's also the testimony of the love of God. And by sharing the Bible, by sharing God's word, we can rest assured knowing that God will work in the hearts of sinners to bring many to himself. The hope of the gospel is found in the entirety of scripture, right? The whole Old Testament, it points forward to the coming of Christ. And the whole New Testament looks back to the person of Jesus. It gives us hope for a second coming, gives us instruction for how to operate in our Christian lives and in the church. So all of this being said, if you do not read your Bible, you will not have a clear understanding of the gospel. You're not going to have a clear understanding on how to live, how to move forward in the Christian life. It all starts in the book, the Bible, God's word. So I encourage you, get into it regularly. Seek to understand the word of God, as it is the most important thing that Christians can do. Well, thank you for joining us today on the Happy Holy Hour. If you have any questions about what it means to be a Christ follower, please don't hesitate to reach out. Our email is happyholyhour@gmail.com. Or you can connect with us over social media. Remember to subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Leave a review so others can find the show. And visit thehappyholyhour.org for some helpful resources. Until next week, God bless.